the music.
Blog Talk Radio.
There we are. Good evening, folks. This is Dave Spitt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection. I'm glad to have everybody joining me here tonight. It is 6 p.m. here on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast in the United States, and that does mean, yes, it's 6 p.m. at my home here in Sedona, Arizona, and it's always wonderful to be here. 2 weeks ago, I was in Amsterdam when we did the program, and I came on the air, and then boom, all of a sudden, the whole internet went out, and it took me a little bit, and I got joined in through my cell phone. And then we weren't able to do the whole program. And last week, I was wanting to go, but folks, it was a pretty big battle for me. I thought I had maybe the stomach flu or some food poisoning, and I was wondering, man, there was nothing I could have ate that could have created that problem. And folks, it laid me up for about 8 hours, and like it does, it just passes, and the next day, you know, I'm just fine. But here's what I found out is the next day, I'd been going through a detox in myself for myself health-wise. And I also do, and I get colon cleanses. And I called up the guy the next day because I had no more than been an hour and a half out of having my colon cleanse session. And I started with these severe stomach cramps. And I called up the guy, and he says, yeah, that happens sometimes. Is because, you know, the buildup in your body. And, I mean, I had no idea about how this goes in your body. I just learned this about a year ago, the need to go through colon cleanses, especially for men as we get older. Because you get this buildup in your colon, and this buildup can get in a compact and can be there for a couple of decades. And he said, as you start peeling away, like the layers of an onion, all the buildup, you'll get to a spot where you have released some of the toxins that have been there in your body for 10 to 20 years. They get released, and they're flushing through your body, and that's what's creating that. And he said, yeah, that's what happened to you, because you know, this guy, he's been doing this for a number of years, and he says that happens with some people. That's what it was, and it had me laid up with severe stomach cramps for about 8 hours in bed. But it was one of those kind of blessings in disguise, you know. Felt horrible, but it's good because it means there's some good healthy stuff going on in my life. So also want to tell everybody tonight, I know I am live now streaming on Facebook. I'm trying the Facebook live streaming this week instead of YouTube. I want to see how this goes. I know when we've done YouTube, we've been having some problems, you know, with the bandwidth. And right now, it looks like we're going fine. Everything is good. Doesn't appear to be that we're having any bandwidth problems. And for a lot of you that have joined me on Facebook, you can also basically, I think, you know, write a couple little comments in there and stuff like that. In fact, I got what says one comment. Let's see what we got here. Not coming up. So, but whatever, I can't see that, but you know, I got to try to do five things at the same time. But here we are, folks, live. It's nice to be back on the program. I want to thank you for all of the wonderful comments that you've given me the last 2 weeks, for the videos that I put out, because they've been kind of moving away. Well, last week, you know what I did, let's see. Okay, sounding good, looks better than YouTube so far. Thank you very much. One guy says, Trump's on Fox right now, but he's here instead. So I'm trumping Donald Trump. Who knows? Whatever. I don't think I'm going to trump him for very long, but it's just nice I thank you, all of you, for joining us, and the faithfulness for all of you that are here and everything that goes on. But first of all, I want to make a couple comments. I want to again say thank you to all the wonderful people that showed up in Amsterdam. We had 87 people from 12 different countries, and they were just absolutely wonderful because they were just delighted the fact that I had gone that distance to be able to be with them there. You know, it worked out wonderful because, you know, the expenses are much higher, and I just didn't know, man, I can't afford to lose money on it. It worked out great. And just to let you know, folks, I'll be back. But here's what's great. There's a core group now that is developing out of Europe, and it shows that we get to expand this. This whole issue of the project funding is beyond those of us here in the United States. I've told you that I have over 10,000 people on my list. About 20% of the people on my list are from outside of the United States. I have 1,000, 1,200 from Canada. I have about 800 from Europe. I have about 700 from Australia and New Zealand. And I have about 800 from Puerto Rico. And folks, we really, really need to continue to be thinking and praying for those folks in Puerto Rico. I have filled out my workshop schedule for the rest of this year. And if you go to my website, you'll see that I have all the locations without the dates. I was wanting to go to Puerto Rico in either late January or February, but I don't think it's going to be quite time for that. I always usually post those dates at least, you know, somewhere between a month and a half to up to 3 months in advance so you can plan for it. And then I post the registration. I open the registration about 3 weeks prior to the event, this Saturday, Orlando. And folks, Santa Ana. Folks, I'm down to, I have 4 positions left for Santa Ana, and we're going to be sold out. So if you're serious about wanting to come to Santa Ana, you better get your registration in tonight. The week after that, Orlando, we have plenty of room still in Orlando. I have room for about another 25 to 30 in Orlando. And then 2 weeks after that, I'll be in Dallas-Fort Worth. I will be posting the registration for Dallas-Fort Worth this weekend also. So let you know. I wanted to thank you for that. I'm looking at my notes. Blanca won't be with us tonight. Her and her husband, Al, they have a business that sometimes they have to go outside of the greater Atlanta area. And tonight was one of those. And she texted me and said they won't be able to be back home in time for the program tonight. So no Blanca tonight. She's always so wonderful. Her comments are always so great in what she does. And I'm always so thankful for that. So, and I said, yeah, I'm feeling fine. I want to thank you for all of you for the emails. And remember, folks, email is always the best way to communicate with me. Some of you, when I post the YouTube videos, you do leave comments and you're asking questions. If you read my statement on there, I do not answer or respond to anything on YouTube. I'm not going to go into the reasons why. If you want to communicate with me, if you have questions, use the email. And you can always go to my website. The website basically is the place where you can use the best way to always know what is going on. And also, I did something new. I posted now a resource page on my website. I have referred quite often to the Dr. Neruda interviews. And they are off of the wingmakers.com website. So what I did, there are 5 interviews, and they are all in PDF format. And I posted all of those, all 5 of those, on my website today. So you can go there. I also have those translated into audio in an MP3 format. I'll be posting that in the next couple of days. And then when I have time to get to it, I also will be posting all the books that I refer to. Because this week in the video, I had referred to the book, Virus of the Mind by Richard Brody. Let's see, I'm looking at my notes to make sure. I think I basically have everything. I want to clarify one other thing. Some of you are still sending me emails saying that I have been making the comment that if you don't attend the workshops, you're not going to be able to be a part of this program. That is not true. I have never, never said that. Please understand, it's only if it is necessary to have a prioritization of who I'm going to use or process first. When you have over 10,000 people on your list, folks, that can take a couple of months to process that many people. And I'm going to start with the people who have attended the workshops. There is also a possibility, and this is what I get from the funding sources, they may spread this out over a period of a number of months. And that means I may only be able to do to 1,000 to 2,000 people at a time. If that is the case, if it is necessary, I will start with them. That is the benefit for having come to my workshops. And some of you have been complaining a little bit about that, saying, well, I can't afford it and stuff like that. Well, I wish you could, and I'm sorry, but here's the bottom line is, folks, it's the people who attend the workshops that allow me to be here. Just my expenses of running the radio program, running the websites, and doing the emails and all that kind of stuff, it cost me $500 to $600 a month that I would not be spending otherwise if I was not doing this. And the travel expenses are huge when I go there. So, and also, it's what pays for me to be able to meet my monthly living expenses because I have a very, yes, I did mention that I do have a military retirement, but I was in the reserves, not full time. So it's very small. It's not a lot. And like you, I have all my monthly living expenses, and it's the people who attend the workshops that provide the revenue to provide my living expenses and all my overhead expenses. I've been able to do what I do. And so I'm honoring that. And also I'm honoring the fact that those that make the effort to be there. And if you say you can't afford it, then folks, please remember, go look at the website. I have scholarship rates that are available. All you have to do is ask. And in fact, what we have coming up at this weekend at Santa Ana, about one out of every three people will be attending on a scholarship rate. So, okay. So that's it, folks. Yeah, everything is looking good here tonight. I thank you for, will you be able to download this from Facebook? Yes, you will, because see, after the program, well, here's what it is. After the program is over, then it will be posted as a regular Facebook post, and I'm assuming you can download it from there. I haven't checked that out. I'll have to go check that out. So can you download I think yes, you can. You can go to any of the videos on Facebook and you can download those into a video format, because your computer will allow you to do that. So yeah, you will be able to download these. But remember, the radio program also is always downloadable. We're here on Blog Talk Radio as well, so I'm coming on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio, both of them at the same time. And that basically, when it takes about 1 to 2 hours after the program is over, Blog Talk Radio will make it available, and then there's a download button where you can download it into an Audible MP3 file, and you can listen to that anytime you know that you want to. You can download it, put it on your smartphone, take it with you, and you commute and go to work or wherever you go, and you can listen to the programs that way. So, all right. With that, I think I've gotten through most of my announcements tonight. Let me just double check and make sure everything is going well. I want to make sure nothing new on the emails, on the inbox, on the emails. So, let's say, and I will be doing, always I also say, remember, folks, during the, if you have some questions, always email them to me, and I always try to do whatever I can to get to those questions on the radio program as much as that is available. But I think we're ready to go with the Brugger program tonight. I want to say thank you again to everybody that is here and everything that is going on. And so, all right. So last week, I gave basically it was a 4-year recap of where we've been and how what we've done. And it's on the – you can always go to the website. And, you know, the access to the YouTube is there. You can go to my YouTube page, Dave Schmidt, and you will always be able to go through and you will see what is there. And I talked about where we've been. And it's been an ongoing process that has changed. And it's been a learning process for all of us, very much a learning process for me. I told you basically I've made 4 trips to Hong Kong, 2 trips to Thailand. I've been to Reno 7 or 8 times, as well as going to other places to meet with people who are involved in this process. Trips to Hong Kong, I was able to basically be able to meet with Dragon Family representatives that were there, and I've learned a lot more about them, about who they really are. And I've learned about the multiple layers that they are. So you'll hear others talking about the elders or the Dragon Family. Well, it depends on which level that you're coming from. I can tell you right now, if the people that you're listening to are saying that they're talking to the elders or the grandfather, and they're giving you information saying it's going to happen this week or next week, and they've been doing that for a period of time, it's not that they're not necessarily true, but you can be guaranteed that they're not coming from the decision makers. Now, based on what I've been told and the people that I've met face-to-face with in the last couple of months, they are the ones that are at the very top. They have told me that they have actually traveled throughout Asia and met with all of the 9 senior elders. And these are the senior elders that are part of the senior council that are the decision makers where most of this money is coming from. I did talk about last week, though, that there are 3 different sources of funding for this. And you have basically the elders and the dragon families, or some call it the grandfather or whatever. They are the primary sources of most of this money. you come to the workshops and I'm going to tell you about where this money comes from, where this gold comes from, how it's been accumulated over the last 8,000 to 10,000 years that they've been collecting it, some of these ancient families. And remember, the dragon families are not just Chinese. They are a combination of the royal bloodline families that come out of Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and China. And I differentiate between Asia and China because there is a differential between the two. They have this gold that they've been collecting for well over 8,000 years. And this gold is not just in China. It's in China, Taiwan, Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, and Malaysia. It's spread throughout of it. Most of it is in a couple places. And most of it is in the Philippines, Hong Kong, and China. But there's also a very, very large storage amount of it in places in Indonesia. Some of it is finished. Some of it is more in raw in caves and bunkers. And some of it is the, some of the other assets that they have in these caves and bunkers that they have located throughout the world. And trust the fact that these caves and bunkers are very, very secure, folks. I go into much more detail in the workshop. So I show you some of the pictures that have been shared with me about some of the stuff that they have. That's the primary source of this money. And I also shared last week is that it's important to understand that this exchange is not about us getting rich. It's first and foremost about providing funding for funding humanitarian aid projects all around the world. I've talked about in past programs how it's time for that shift and change. It's time for us to go into the shift and change. This is a shift and change that's happening because humanity is ready for the shift and change. And there's various things that are backing this up. From the shift and change that we're seeing in the energy and the Schumann resonance and the vibration here on our planet, to the fact that we as a humanity are clearly waking up, and the internet has been one of our greatest gifts for that. It's allowed us to be able to wake up to who we really are and what's really going on and the truth that is taking place, and how a lot of this information comes out of the alternate media, and that's the gift that the internet has brought to us. It's helping us as a humanity wake up. We're beginning to shift and change. And we're breaking free from the controllers that have been overseeing and controlling humanity for thousands of years. Their biggest form of control is what I call the various forms of financial slavery. And not only are these funds for basically funding projects, but also to be able to set us free from the financial slavery. And on this week's program, I talked about what I have learned is the biggest problem of humanity, and it's what's called separation or duality consciousness. This is a thought system. This is a thought form, and it's something that has been programmed into us. If you read again through the Neruda interviews, you will find the sources of that programming, where it's come from and how it came about, and how as we as a humanity, as a human race, have basically fallen captive to these programs. But what he also talks about, and it's not just him, it's some of the other sources, is the fact that we have the capability to break ourselves free from that slavery. We have the capability to break ourselves free from this separation consciousness. We have the capability to free ourselves to move into a much greater and higher degree of our own awareness, our own consciousness, our own living, our own lives, and to be people who are moving into what is called basically a complete higher sense of what I call of enlightenment, if that's the term that you want to use. Now, why do I talk primarily about the Neruda interviews? Because he talks about the seriousness of the separation consciousness and how to overcome it. I frequently refer you to three different sources, and these are the three best sources that I have seen that talk about that. It's the Neruda interviews and the Wingmakers material. They go hand in hand because the Neruda interviews are part of the Wingmakers material. The second one are the books by Gary Renard. And Gary, instead of using separation consciousness, he does refer to that term, separation and duality consciousness, but they refer to it more as ego consciousness, an ego mindset, an ego thought system. And that basically is the Cliff Notes. Gary Renard's books are the Cliff Notes to A Course in Miracles. And it's A Course in Miracles that clearly describes about what is called duality consciousness. It is something that we all go through as a human race, as humanity, when we incarnate into these physical human bodies and live as human beings, Homo sapien bodies here on this planet Earth. And it's something that we have to undo. We have to undo the ego consciousness. What A Course in Miracles teaches us is that we have two minds. We have the ego mind and we have the divine mind. And the ego mind, the separation consciousness mind, is the default process for all of us in how we think. And this is what creates the conflicts that we have as human beings. And when I say conflicts, that can go into and have 100 faces on it, the different types of conflict that is there. Everywhere, everything from the very deep wars to just our divisions that we have with each other. What the divine mind teaches us is that we're all connected. We all have a very similar basis to who we are, and we're connected with each other. And what A Course in Miracles teaches, and this is also a part of this is basic psychology 101, is how you see another, how you view another person is really just a reflection of what's happening on the inside of us. What we see in another is a mirror of what is happening on the inside of us. Here's what happens. We have a thought, and then the first thing we do is that, and this happens at the subconscious level, not the conscious level, at the subconscious level, we then have a thought and we go inside and we look at what we see of ourselves on the inside, and then we project that out. And we project that out based on the perception that we have of someone else. And that perception quite often is we perceive them as different, we see them as less, we see them as having problems, we see them as evil, we see them as they have a problem and I don't. That's separation. On a, what you call a macro scale, one of the greatest issues in the separation consciousness is how quick we are to so severely criticize our government and political leaders. How quick we are to severely criticize our president. And I don't care if it's Republican and Donald Trump or Democrat when it was Barack Obama. The very fact that we are deeply criticizing the leadership is a reflection of the perception that we have about ourselves, of our own poor leadership. Because you see, these thoughts are part of the thought system. And when we move into the divine mind, we learn how to not judge. Anytime that we are involved in judging another, you can believe that you are involved in separation consciousness. Judgment is the biggest part of it, when we judge and criticize another. Now, there's an extreme importance to understand there is a difference between giving a critique versus a judgment. And you will know the difference based on how you feel the energy that is around those thoughts and those comments. Judgment, you're being critical. You're condemning. You're basically lowering them into a lower status than yourself. There are times that it's important to have a critique saying, yes, this is the perception, the observation that I'm having of that person. But you have no attachment to it. You have no energetic attachment to that thought at all. Folks, if you have not listened to or watched the videos from last week and this week, I would highly encourage you to do that. Because at the end of the day, this funding is about moving forward as humanity. Money is a tool. It will always be a tool. It will be the tool that is going to be one of the primary tools help set us free from this financial slavery. It's going to be the tool that gives us the time to do the work that we have to do to overcome this separation consciousness. And these funds from the primary sources that I communicate, they clearly understand this is a spiritual path and a spiritual journey of us waking up. I'm not here to critique and criticize the various, you know, religious issues that you may have. What A Course in Miracles will teach you is that you can have people that are sitting in the rows in churches right next to each other, and some of them are doing absolutely wonderful in moving into what is called, you know, what is called, you know, the divine consciousness, and there's others that are very deep into duality consciousness. It has nothing to do with the external. It has to do with the internal. And in the internal, you can have people involved in all kinds of different issues or different spiritual types of development within their lives. And there are some that are still very much in separation, and there are some that are not. It's important that we not fall into judgment, because judgment is what creates what I call the means, the thought process, that is of a lower vibrational energy that keeps us in this separation. Well, that's pretty much the comments that I want to make on that tonight. What I want to do tonight, because I don't need to necessarily go into really a lot of in-depth repeating of what I've done in the last 2 weeks, I do really want tonight to listen to your comments and your questions. Now, when you go to the radio program, what you can do is that you can call in, and the number there is 515-605-9356, and there's still room for some more callers. It's 515-605-9356, and then you press 1 on your touchtone phone, and that lets me know that, yes, you want to come on the air. You either have some questions or you have some comments. And we have about 5 or 6 people that are in that position. I will also be moving into also some periods of times I will be taking some of the questions that are also that you have basically written in the emails as well. Okay, hold on just to look at just a minute here. Let me get a little drink of my tea here. So with that, I don't have Blanca tonight, who is pre-screening the callers. So all I'm going to do, folks, is I'm going to go right down the list as they appear here. And I will call you out basically by your area code that you have called in from, because it gives me your phone number when you call in. And then basically what I would like you to do is tell us your name. You know what? First name is fine. Just tell us your first name and where you're from. And then you can make your comments or your questions. So the very first one we're going to go into tonight is area code 702. So area code 702, you are here on the air. What can we help you with tonight?
Yeah, hi, Dave. I just wanted to check back in. I know as of last week and the week before, you were saying, you know, you're kind of on lockdown on a lot of comments, but by the same token, you were saying that things are like amazingly close, and that was as of a couple of weeks ago, and how somebody had gotten paid. And so I just wanted to get an update to the extent that you can on where things are at now.
I don't have any updates on that. And I know that was one of the emails that someone had called in, because I did say 2 weeks ago that there was a gentleman. Yes, I had a report that this individual got paid. And this comes out of my primary source that's in Reno. He didn't give me the name. I don't know who the individual is. And he also, I'm getting some background noise there from you coming in. But he didn't give me the name, so I don't know who it was, and he didn't give me any updates other than that, other than the fact that tells us that there's progress that is being made. I've told you that I'm involved in 6 different contracts. Not all of them are in Reno. I have 3 of them in Reno with 2 different sources. And all I know is that all of those sources have been put on a blackout, which they can't even talk about it. My biggest primary sources that I have with the bank that's from overseas, I don't even get to call them up and talk with them, because they said it's best that we don't do that. So I don't have an update. There's nothing new that I can say from what I put out basically last week on the video and the program 2 weeks ago. Okay?
Okay, yeah. So in other words, you've got confirmation, but you don't have, like, confirmation that you would be satisfied with that it actually happened.
I guess that's a good way to put it. I'm just reporting what I've been told. But I don't have specific, tangible information other than the fact that this person that reports it to me, I trust him. He talked directly on the phone with that person. He did say a week ago Friday that he was in the bank for 4 hours working working out his contracts, working out his paperwork, setting up the bank account. He was there for 4 hours. The money was put into his bank account. He had access to it on Friday. He had been in Reno for 5 weeks. And a week ago on Wednesday, 2 days after he got it, he left Reno. So he left town with the money in his account, spendable money, and that is how it was reported to me. And I don't have any updates other than that.
Got it. Okay, well, listen, thanks for the update, Dave. We'll tune in next week.
But let me make this one other comment. I do know that this was a very, very small contract. It was not some of the larger stuff, and there were only a few people that were involved in it. So this one can be the exception rather than the norm of the larger issues. All right. Okay, so we'll finish up there. Let's see. Click on that. So I'm going to go now to the next caller. That is area code 204. So 204, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight? Hello? You're there. Did you want to come on the air tonight? Or did you want to just listen? I guess you're not wanting to come on the air tonight. Sometimes they still press 1 on the touchtone phone, but that doesn't mean they want to come on the air. So I'm going to go to the next one. Area code 903, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, can you hear me, Dave?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, yes, this is Rose from Texas. I just have a comment. You know, the NDAs, the non-disclosures that we sign, don't you, in my mindset now, listen very closely. This is, to me, it's sort of like a power trip for people that take our turns. They intimidate us where we cannot communicate with the source that has the currency, nor our friends or family, other people in the group. And we sit back and we stress over it. And it's, to me, it's just like someone just want to take charge and you just bend over and they kick you in the behind and you just have to take it. And that's the way, you know, some people feel. I know I'm not the only one.
Well, and I can understand that, but first let me make a comment. Every NDA is different. It is basically the broker and the buyer that sets the parameters of the NDA. And funders, they will require that for our safety and our security. And, you know, it's back to the old, what I call the other golden rule. Those who have the gold get to set the rules. And if you want to be a part of it, then we have to abide by their rules. And they are going to have... You're going to be required to sign an NDA. And you know, Rose, if you don't like it, you don't have to participate. If I can make this comment, if it's creating anxiety for you, then take care of the anxiety. Learn how to bring yourself to the place of peace, to be peaceful with this. Because if it's anxiety, if you've got anxiety around this money, if I may make a comment, you're probably very much going to fit into that category of the 80% of the lottery complex who have problems with
I said that to you because I know where you were going, but okay, just erase that. It's not the anxiety behind the money. It's just like even if you have a question and ask the group leader, then, you know, you're not supposed to contact people.
I can't comment on other contracts, Rose. I cannot comment on them. That's their business. I do know funding sources have said this is for our own protection and security in this process of getting this carried out. And if we violate it, there's no money coming, flat out. They won't fund or give money to people who are not willing to abide by the NDA. And every NDA is different. So I can't comment on what you may have in another contract with somebody else. That's their business. As of now, I told you I am involved in 6 contracts, and I do have a small group of people that are with me. Their NDAs is with me, not a bank, not a broker, not, you know, a funder or somebody else. It's with me. So I am the one who would basically enforce the NDA if necessary. But when I express that this is for our own protection and security, it's for our own good. This is not about a small number of us getting a lot of money. Imagine what happens when you've got millions and billions of people finding out this money was available and they couldn't be a part of it, or they didn't get to be a part of it. You don't want to be someone who's out there being out in the open unless you know you've got great protection and security for you, because there's some of those people that will be really pissed off and they'll retaliate. And so it's for our own protection and security, these NDAs. Is that helpful?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And if you've got some anxiety, or if anybody's got anxiety issues around the money.
No, that's okay, Dave. I don't have that type of anxiety. It's just other things. Yeah, I just ask the question. That's all. Thank you so much.
Do your inner work to bring yourself to the place where you're at peace and you're comfortable, and it's not about the money for you. And everybody's in a different place, and I understand that. Not everybody's in the same place in their journeys and their walks about how they deal with this stuff. But it's an opportunity for us to do a lot of inner healing work, because money will create that. When all of a sudden you get a lot of money, it creates brings up a lot of different stuff in your life that you're not accustomed to. So, okay. Anything else, Rose?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, folks, let's see. I've only got 4 more people on the list, so I'm going to have a lot of time for questions and comments tonight. So if you want to do that, again, the number is 515-605-9356, and then you press 1 on your touch-tone phone. It gives me the little flag saying that you would like to come on the air. Okay, going on to the next caller, and the area code number is 903. So 903, you are in the air, and what can I help you with tonight? Hello, are you there? Did you want to?
You probably still have me.
What's that? Oh, 903. I guess they're not coming on the air, so we're going to go on to the next one, and I think I remember who this next guy is, but I think this might be Jason at 336. Is this Jason?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, glad you're back. Yes, doing good. Glad you're on the air here tonight.
Glad you're back. What are you talking about me? I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there are probably a lot of people that are glad to have you back tonight. So, what's up?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to call in. I had a couple. I really loved your video from last week. And even the one you put out last night was really the first time that I've ever been able to actually wrap my mind around a real live example of the duality consciousness, and how, you know, what it was for me, Dave, was you gave that example of, okay, something bad happens in the world, and then you lash out after that in your own mind, or maybe in your own conversations with your spouse and family. And you're angry about it, and you're going after that bad, angry, bad thing that happened with the same energy that it had, and how that's not going to change but add to it. I mean, it was a real live example, and I just want to thank you for it, because, man, I'm so guilty of lashing out after things that I see that are so wrong in the world. And in my mind, I just go, man, let me fix it. You know, let me at them. Let me do it. I'll take care of them, you know. And I mean, it's obviously the wrong energy. So that was good for me. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for that. But I did hear your video last week twice already. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is, and I thought I would do it on the air instead of, you know, just calling you. You and I talk some. But I think maybe other people may have this same thing in their head at some point in time or another. And so maybe other people will benefit from your answer as well. But I was just wondering on the narrative that you put forth about that this money is for a shift and change and all the above. I mean, I obviously know that there's humanitarian efforts involved, right? So we know that from the beginning, when you started from the very beginning, when people started talking about the funding, you know, you started talking about this is not for you to get rich. This is going to be, you know, 80-20 projects, blah, blah, blah. But going beyond the projects and getting to the narrative of this is supposed to be a shift and change in humanity. And, you know, you've brought a lot of elements into that from the, you know, celestial stuff to, you know, you name it. It's all in there. It's a hodgepodge of everything. And so my question is this. I know I've taken a long time to get there. How many of these funding sources that you sit down with, because I know you sit down with a lot of them face-to-face, how many of them have that same narrative that you put forth? In other words, is that narrative something that you have come to really realize and see from an inner perspective? Or is that a narrative that you're hearing discussed each time you're with the different groups and they all go, yeah, this is how it should be? Are you teaching them the same way you're teaching us, or are they also putting that forward? Do you kind of understand my question?
Yes, I do. And remember, I said there are three different primary types of funding sources. It depends on which one that you're coming with. When you go with the Dragon families and elders that I am communicating with, they understand this. Now, we've had a few minor things where we're a little bit different on, but they know and understand this is first and foremost about the spiritual development of the human race for these funds to be released. And they are the largest source of the money. They are the ones that I told you, you know, that the guy told me face to face that he has more money in the HSBC bank even than the Queen. They have more money in the bank than anybody in the world. And they know that this is first and foremost for project funding and for spiritual development of the human race. But you also have to come back, remember, if all the three groups, you have the first group are the large group of the Dragon families and the elders. The second group are those that are the government-controlled groups in conjunction with, you know, the international treaty agreement that is there. And the third group are some large private groups. In all three, there are black hats and white hats. So you can't just take all of the elders and think they're all benevolent. Some of them are flat out cabal. But they have different sources of funding and different amounts of money. And then when you get into the government sources, it's the same way. You have some of them that are still caught into the old power entrapment about money of power and control, and some of them that are benevolent. And you get into the other smaller private groups, it's the same. So you can't pigeonhole any one group, other than that I can say that the elders that I'm working with, they are spiritually oriented, and they know that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And let me ask you, too, you know, feel free to speculate if you don't necessarily know the answer, because I'm just asking your opinion, obviously. But when it comes to any of the funding sources that are flat-out cabal, any speculation on why at all they would want to be releasing funds to people like us?
Power and control. Power and control.
So you think they want to release that money so that then they can control those people?
Absolutely. They want to release that money because, see, let's say that you have $10 trillion, and I'm just rounding that up, using this as an illustration. If you have it all by yourself, and you already have enough money for yourself, money doesn't mean anything to you, you have limited power and control. But if you release that money in the millions to other people, you now have a large number of people that you can have for power and control for your agenda. It broadens and expands their agenda by allowing this money to be released. And remember, they're doing it because they know that the benevolent stuff is going to come forward. They know that. They're very much aware that the benevolent stuff is going to come forward. So this is a shift and change for them. So they're coming up with what they have to expand their power and control. Power and control is an addiction. It's a very strong addiction. And that's what it's about. And see, and to me, in my opinion, you see, they're coming from a place of fear. That's why they want power and control. And if they realized that there were tens of thousands that were getting to have money benevolent, from a benevolent perspective, they would lose that power and control. And now they would like to have some thousands that they can control, because when they give them the money, you better believe it's probably going to come with some strings attached to it so they can be in control and have influence over these people. That's how I see it. It makes
interesting.
Sense. It totally makes sense.
Well, and part of what – go ahead.
If the large sums of money from, you know, the elders was not coming forward, then they don't have anything to worry about. But when that money's coming forward, it totally shifts their paradigm of how they have to operate. And they need to expand their base as well, because this base is, you know, the benevolent base is expanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of what actually got me on this line of thinking, and I thought, well, I want to call in and ask you, and I thought maybe other people might can benefit from it too, and I hope you find that as well, was I was thinking to myself, you know, each person has a journey. Like, I mean, I actually have a gentleman who's involved in the exchange, and he's only known about this exchange and is involved in it and actually has a contract in the last, you know, 4 months. It's the first time he ever found out about it, and he was able to, you know, jump in on a contract with me. And so his journey is obviously different from someone like yourself who 4 years ago started, or even myself. But the point is that being that I know everybody's journey is different, I think to myself that everybody at least has a common denominator. And part of that common denominator to me is a real relevant part, and that is this. When I got involved in this exchange, I literally, you know, because of my background in trading foreign currency, I had probably 20 people over a 5-year period say to me, oh, you're going to get some dinar, aren't you? What do you think about the dinar? Jason, you're a currency trader. What do you think about the dinar? And I would just kind of throw my lip up at it and go, I'm not interested in this. I'm not something I'm interested in. I've heard about it. I've looked into it. Not interested. And then finally, I got a call from a friend of mine I hadn't talked to in, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And, you know, he was worth millions, lives down on the Intercoastal Waterway in Florida. And I knew he had made his money from being a part of the Kuwaiti dinar exchange, where he actually went to Kuwait and exchanged his money. And so when he said to me on the phone that day, you're going to get some dinar, right? You got some dinar, correct? You know, we hadn't talked in a long time, but tell me you have some dinar. And I said, no, I don't have any dinar, and I'm not getting any dinar. And he said, no, you are getting some dinar. And he said, you know how much, he said, you know how much I'm worth, right? And I said, well, I have a pretty good idea. And he said, do you have any idea how I got all that? And I said, no. And of course, he told me the story.
Yeah.
And so we hung up the phone, and I immediately spent thousands of dollars on dinar. You know, and I got me some dinar, and I threw it in my safe, and that was maybe 18 months before I'd ever even heard the name Dave Schmidt. So anyway, I threw it in my safe, and I didn't really think about it. I thought, you know, one day it's going to happen, and when it does, I'll hear about it, and I'll take mine in, you know. And here's the point I'm trying to make. When I bought that dinar, and I think most people are probably like I am, when I bought that dinar, all I could think to myself at that time was, one of these days this might revalue. Maybe it'll be worth $1 million per million. I've got like 10 of them, so I'll have $10 million, you know. And at that time in my life, I'd already made millions in my life. And, you know, I wasn't looking at it like a savior thing or, you know, I really wasn't looking at it at all, you know, like projects and how many people I can help and all that stuff. Now, you know, just to be transparent, I don't like to use the terminology, I'll be honest with you, because most people that use that term are not being honest with you. So I like to use the term, I'll be transparent, or I'll be forthright with you, or whatever. But my transparency is this: I didn't have projects on my mind at all. However, in my lifetime, I have been one of those people that believes if you have a good heart, you do good things with money. And I've had a good heart my entire life. And I have done some phenomenal things with money. So I just knew in the back of my mind, if that ever comes through, I'm sure I'll take a portion of it and do some good things, regardless of where or what it is. But then, of course, by linking myself up with you, I began to understand the process more. And then, the journey changed for me. And that's when I thought, oh, geez, we're going to have this opportunity to have this humanitarian account and then really make a difference for maybe, who knows, millions of people. And
Jason,
so
I need to
make
this.
Much. Yeah.
I did not know this. This is my first week on Facebook, and someone just sent me a message on Facebook saying that I only have 10 minutes left live.
Okay. Go to your other callers.
I didn't know that. So we might have to cut the program, to the live program to the 1 hour tonight. So let's do this. We can probably, continue on those discussions later. But you made a really good comment. I want to comment briefly, and then I want to try to get to the other callers because it looks like we're going to have to limit our program tonight.
No worries.
Kuwait and Iraq are not apples versus apples. They are apples and oranges and two entirely different scenarios, and you cannot compare the two. Here's an illustration.
I know.
Kuwaiti's currency was not revalued. It was reinstated. And they only they dropped its value on the market for only about 6 to 8 months. It was roughly about $3.50 a dinar. It dropped down to 5 cents. And then when Kuwait got the country back, they reinstated it at 3.50. And in that 8 months, if you were able to buy some, you were in great shape. You benefited from that. But it was a very limited number of people who were able to do that. You had to be in country. You could only exchange it in country. And it was not available to the public out on the internet like this is. What's happened with the Iraqi dinar, what most people don't know, is that when the dinar was at around $3.40, the single highest dinar denomination was a 25, not a 25,000. And so if they reinstated or revalued back to the 340, they would only do it at the 25, and that means they would drop the three zeros on the 25,000 note. But people are thinking that it's going to be reinstated at 340 at 25,000. No, it's not. Who's going to pay for that? Who's going to come up with the hundreds of trillions of dollars to do that? Iraq doesn't have it. So that's why the Iraqi dinar and the Kuwaiti dinar are basically apples and oranges. They aren't the same story. Because Kuwaiti was a reinstatement over only about 8 months and a limited number of people involved. And we now know this Iraqi dinar, there's over 600 million boxes out there over a process of almost 10 years, and it's a totally different denomination of currency. Okay? I'm going to let you go because I've only got about 6 minutes left to get to the rest of these callers. Okay?
Dave, right. Good to have you back, buddy.
We'll see you next week. Okay. All right, folks, I'm going to go to caller at 808 area code. It's coming up. 808, you are on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. My name is Rosemary. I attended in Hawaii the workshop. My question it's just real simple stuff, is if I turned in the dinar and then purchased dong, are we supposed to redo the communication with you about that?
No.
Okay.
When I had that on my website that I was asking for how much you had, that was only a one-time request because I needed to get an idea how much was out there from the people on my list. I was clueless to how much was out there. Once I got that good estimation, I've never asked for since. You do not have to tell me what you have or when until it's time to turn it in.
Okay.
I don't need anything.
Okay, and then on project, are we supposed to be sending you like an outline or anything like that, or is that later?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, I don't want anything until we tell you when it's time to proceed, what it will be. Because first of all, people want to send me to, I don't have time to read 5,000, business plans. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it may be that I'm not even the decision maker on the business plans when you have that many. See, I don't want... Right now, the only thing that is required is to be on the list. And then I will give you instructions when it's time to proceed. Okay?
All right. And encouraging you to come to Southern California as well. All right. Thank you.
I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'm there this Saturday, Santa Ana.
Yeah, Northern. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you mean Northern California?
No, is Santa Ana. I thought I'm new here from Hawaii, so I'll just check. But Santa Ana, I thought was in Northern California, but I'll check.
No. Santa Ana is in Orange County, just south of Los Angeles.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Going to go on to the next caller, and it's from area code 801. You are on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. This is Darlene. I'm calling from Salt Lake City.
Yes.
I need to find out. I sent you an email and got a response, but I would like to know how to put together a workshop for Salt Lake City.
I will come I have at least 25 full paying attendees. I need that to cover my expenses. I will come.
And that's, okay.
Salt Lake City is kind of right between Denver and the Bay Area, so that's why I don't come there. And because there's only so many places I can go, but if you know that you can help put together at least 20, and you know the people that are listening, if you're out there from Salt Lake City, send me an email. If I know that I can have at least 25 full paying attendees, not scholarships but full paying, I'll come. I can do that.
See, I don't have a clue how to put together a workshop, so.
You don't have to put it together. I just need to make sure I'm going to have a good enough attendance to cover my expenses.
And okay, what about finding a space for you to help have it?
I do that. I take care of all of that. I always do something that is close to the airport because I always have a percentage of people that will fly in and then they don't have to rent a car. They can catch the shuttle. I always have a hotel. I always do it at a hotel that has a shuttle from the airport.
Well, if I can figure it out, I would love to have you come here. We did come to see you in Sedona, but that was a bit of a challenge for me.
Yeah.
So.
No, you don't need to do anything other than just to make sure that I'm going to have that many people. And I'm sure I probably would in Salt Lake City. It's just that I haven't had a high request from there, and it's right halfway between the Bay Area and Denver, so and Sedona. When you look at it, it's kind of there's a triangle of all three, so yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'm now going to go to area code number 617. 617, you're on the air, and we have about a minute and a half left.
Okay, Dave, MJ here. Yes or no, you coming back to Boston or not?
I'm going to do New York City instead of Boston.
Okay.
It is up, that will be up in the Northeast, New York City.
I got it. Okay. Listen, regarding Gary Renard writing DU, he spoke to Ken Wapnick. He listened to a lot of Ken Wapnick's tapes at the urging of Persartan, as I call it. Do you know that if I watch Ken Wapnick YouTubes all the time, did he get a lot of his stuff for disappearance from the tapes? From Ken Wapnick, or is all that stuff in DU entirely from Persartan?
Both. He became personal friends with Ken. He had read almost all of Ken's materials, and it would be both.
Okay. Well, if you want to take another caller, I'll get off the phone.
Okay. Actually, you were the last one. So, okay. All righty. Thanks for calling.
So here we go.
Okay, so folks, I have another person says that they've been on Facebook Live for an hour and a half and doesn't seem to be an hour time limit, but tonight is the first night. I've been using Facebook. I have already had a number of comments from a lot of you Facebook is much, much better than it is on YouTube. And would you do me, if you are there live on Facebook, would you do me a favor? I'm looking at my clock. And I just passed the 1 hour mark. And let me know if I'm still on. Or am I still there? Am I still going? And that will tell me a lot because let's see. I think I had someone from area code 918. I know I can continue going on the radio. Okay. Let's see. Area code 918. Did I take you sooner or did you just come in? Area code 918.
Just came in. Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can hear you. We'll keep going here.
Just,
I don't know if this is going to come out on Facebook, but it will be on the radio. Okay?
Very good.
Yep.
The question is regarding the cryptocurrencies And yes. The newsletter, I've never received anything. Didn't know if Jason was doing those or if my request got through to him.
Jason is putting together a newsletter. He does not have time to respond to every individual. I've had what you need to do, send me an email, and then I will forward it on to him again is what I will do. I will forward the email to him so that he will get it, and we'll do it again, and he'll get you on his newsletter. He's had over 1,000 requests already that I have forwarded to him. And he has put together a group, and they're doing very, very well. And the business, and it's kind of, I want to be careful how I say this, but it's kind of like a hedge fund with cryptocurrencies, and they're doing very, very well. He and his partner, the partner that he works with, this was a guy, it was about 2 or 3 months ago, he made over $1 million in 1 day trading cryptos,
mm-hmm.
1 day. These guys are professional traders. They know how to do it. And the comments that I have had from Jason is that those that are involved in it, it's working very, very well, and they're getting a very good return. You're going to get anywhere close to this of what you're going to be able to get, you know, in stocks. And these guys are professional. They're here to do the best for you. They're very protective and cautious to making sure that, you know, it's not going to be wasted. Because cryptos are so new, it's going to go through its ebbs and flows. It's going to go through its ups and downs. It's going to go through its changes. It's very similar to what we went through back in, you know, the tech explosion back in the late 90s. And I did post on my Facebook page a comment that I saw from Christine Lagarde, you know, about a week ago, and she's saying cryptos are here to stay, and it is the banking form of the future. And she talked about it, see, because cryptos, what it does, it allows us to exchange finances, money, peer-to-peer without using a bank. And she said, you aren't going to stop that. That is a movement that is going to become so strong. And she basically criticized some of the bankers that were criticizing the cryptos. And she said, you guys better get on board and get used to it. You cannot stop the masses and the power of the internet. And that's why I agree with it. It has the opportunity for us to basically move away from this very powerful, corrupt, elite central banking system that is basically primarily controlled by the Federal Reserve here in the United States. We can move our money out of that system, and we have peer-to-peer ability to move money. So, okay?
Yep.
Does that answer your question?
Been waiting for some comments on that. It's been a long time, so thank you for the update. I will do it again.
Okay, well, my live broadcast says I'm 4 minutes past 1 hour, and I've gotten a lot of comments saying, yes, I am still live, and I'm still here, and we're still going. So I'll continue to go as folks that you continue to call in and let me know that you want to come on the air. Again, I have one person I'm going to come to. And the number there is 515-605-9356 that you call in. Press 1 on your touchtone phone, and that lets you know you'd like to come on the air. So I'm going to go to, and if you come on now, there's not a very long wait. So, okay, we're going to go to area code 617. 617, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Dave, it's MJ. I just called back in since I knew you were continuing.
Yeah, good. Okay.
So, I have my second question now.
All right.
Last time you and I talked, I ended the call with that quote from A Course in Miracles, said that you are entirely too tolerant of mind wandering. This has been a discipline of mine for many, many years to pay attention, to monitor my thoughts constantly. And I have to capture every passive state of mind. So I'm constantly in that frame of mind, if you will. Ken Wapnick in his 50 Miracle book talks about that we should keep our mind focused on where our attention is, either with the ego or the Holy Spirit, every minute, every hour of every single day.
Yeah.
In your experience, I know that you've read Disappearance 9 times. How much do you actually give to being with people out there in the world, which gives you a chance to practice forgiveness, and how much do you think that studying as much as possible is maybe more appropriate?
It's a combination of both. You can study because it gives you something to focus on, but the bottom line at the end of the day, it's about a change in behavior. And studying doesn't guarantee a change in behavior, but the studying helps the change of behavior. And change of behavior takes time. You will find it coming out of A Course in Miracles, all the books by Gary Renard. Once you awaken to what separation consciousness is and how serious it is, it takes work. It takes diligent and vigilant work because you're having to change a complete behavior, habitual behavior thought system, and having to renew it. And it's important to understand that. Don't get too worried about are you making progress or not. You'll know the progress because you'll feel it. What will happen is you'll have something that comes up in front of your face and you're noticing you're reacting entirely differently than what you're used to. That's when you know the progress. You're reacting and perceiving from a place of peace, from a place of forgiveness, from a place of compassion, from a place of love, from a place of understanding, instead of a place of judgment. And when you find yourself doing that, then you know you're making the progress. And what Art and Persa say in Gary's books is, for most people, once you wake up to that, it takes a lifetime or two to make the complete shift. It takes, because you're having to undo a whole lot of what is called unconscious guilt and fear that's at the unconscious level. It's not the conscious level of the mind. And only so much of it comes up at a time. And we have the opportunity to do that work when whatever comes up in our face throughout the day, you always have the opportunity to respond and react through your and shift your perception. So you're perceiving it through the eyes of God versus the eyes of the human ego. I work on it all the time. And I understand it's a lifetime shift and change. It's not going to just happen overnight. Not going to happen in a year. It's going to take a lifetime to make that shift and change. But it's something we all need to do. If we don't do it, then what I say is, welcome to the world of the matrix, because it means that you're waking up in the morning and you're taking the blue pill if you're not working on it. Every morning when we wake up, we have the option to take the blue pill or the red pill. And I'm working on taking the red pill every single morning when I wake up. And by taking the red pill, it means I'm choosing to be awake. I'm choosing to be alert. I'm choosing to undo the separation of consciousness that's been programmed in my mind. And if you don't consciously work at that, you're unconsciously taking the blue pill when you wake up in the morning. And that's the Matrix movie illustration.
Yeah, to one point you made, I call it the Mariana Trench of unconscious guilt.
Yes, and it is. It's exactly what it is. And it's not something that we have to feel guilty about, because it's a human condition. It is a human condition. And it's we as humans in these Homo sapien bodies, it's been programmed into all of us. But we have the ability to undo it and to reverse it and change it. Okay?
One other thing. Since you went to seminary, I've been wrestling with something for quite a while now. I have someone that invites me to their church all the time, and I've been a couple of times. I personally have transcended religion, but I have a lot of resistance to going to church services, even though I have a perspective that would allow me to sort of forgive in the process of the separation that is apparently occurring by giving sermons that are based on teachings that are essentially not compatible with disappearance. What do you say to that?
You do what you need to do. The important thing, it could be you're going to church is your great forgiveness opportunity. It's a place that you get to live out. You could choose to go to church, and then when stuff comes up that's obviously coming from a place of ego consciousness, just let it go. And then focus on when they talk about the love of God, when they talk about the love of Jesus, and then capitalize on that and let that be ingrained into you. Because going back to remember what Art and Persa had said, there's a lot of people that are attending church every week that are great and wonderful people on the bright path. Mm-hmm. It's not about the religion. Don't try to put it into a pigeonhole of one classification. Religion is just another aspect that can be both either an ego consciousness or can be used as a tool of very healthy growth for all of us. It's what you want to make out of it. It's what it is. See, when I, the majority of the years that I was in evangelical Christianity, I had a real resistance, you know, the hellfire and brimstone preaching. Most of my time I was involved in churches that focused on the person of Jesus, who he was, his love, his compassion, his grace, and his forgiveness. And that became the central focus point of the vast majority of the stuff that I was hearing and responding to. So it was a very good experience for me in the years that I was there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They told Gary, you can use, it's okay to use illusions within the illusion, just
absolutely.
To use it in tandem with forgiveness.
Yep, absolutely. You see, you know, our soul will bring up before us everything that is helpful for us to go through this process to undo the ego consciousness. It's going to bring up the stuff before us to do it. And that can come from multiple different places. The important thing is, if you have resistance to going to church, that you're not stuck in an old consciousness, that you can come with it with a perception of love and compassion toward them. That's the important thing.
You know, in closing, I'm just going to make you an invitation that one day you could just have a radio show strictly devoted to A Course in Miracles and see how many people you get that would love to have that conversation.
Well, you know, if you just step into the course itself without having to go through Gary's book, it can be kind of tough to understand. It's not something that's simply understood. But once you read his books, it's like it takes about 20 years off of your understanding the course. It's the cliff notes to it. Then when you read it, it totally makes sense. And it speaks to you very deeply. It does that for me. But it took me about 4 years to get there, to where I was really comfortable that I could open it up and read it, and it just would speak very deeply to my heart and my soul. It does that for me now. But it wasn't like that in the beginning. It took a while to get there.
Okay, thank you, my good man.
Okay, all right.
Bye.
Okay, before I go on to the next caller, I'm going to go off to one of the emails, over to one of the emails, I should say. Okay, here's what it says. There are so many rumors about the USN and the TRN. I'm looking for confirmation that it's real, that it will be released as part of the exchange process. And so the questions are, is it really going to be asset or gold-backed? Will it be physical currency or just electronic? Will its primary function be for an international trade or it's replacing the U.S. dollar? And is the U.S. going to have a second currency? Wouldn't there be public information about it? I'm going to share with you that my perspective and position on this is probably different than most of what you hear from others. First of all, if it's paper currency, it doesn't make any difference because money is money. And about 95% of the money out there is digital. And when your money is digital, it doesn't say Federal Reserve note or U.S. note at the top of it. It doesn't make any difference. The issue about having asset-backed currencies at our level, at the retail level, it doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, when you and I have money in our bank account or we have physical currency and we walk into a store, whether we write a check, give a debit card, or give them cash, we don't care if it's a U.S. note or a Federal Reserve note, if it's gold-backed or if it's fiat, as long as we can spend it for what we want to spend it, and we get our change back, and I can take that somewhere else. You see, currency, its value is defined by being a common acceptance amongst the masses. It's not about is it gold-backed or not gold-backed. We could come out with a new U.S. note that is totally gold-backed, and then what happens if gold drops from $1,300 back to $35? Then all of a sudden, all that currency has lost its value, hasn't it? You see, it doesn't make any difference at the end of the day. It's just a medium of exchange. Yes, there are benefits for it to going to being asset-backed currencies, because what asset-backed currency does, it curtails inflation. And when inflation happens, we're being robbed of the value of our money. But there's a negative side to having only gold-backed currency. You then have a limited amount of money that can be placed in circulation. And you could end up having the power people gather all the money, and then there's limited money that is available for circulation for people to spend. There's pros and cons on both sides of whether or not you're going to have asset back or not. At the end of the day, I know there's a lot of people that says that the USN has to come forward before this exchange is going to take place. I've heard arguments on both sides of the story. I can't give you an absolute answer. All I know is currency is what gives it value because the masses give it value. We are in a situation where currencies have been controlled by countries. Our U.S. government still controls our U.S. currency, even though it's a Federal Reserve note. And we're now moving into an area of cryptocurrencies. What is a cryptocurrency? It's nothing more than a value that is given to it that's in a digital form on a computer account. But yet it has the ability for you to spend it. At the end of the day, you want to know that your money can be spent and that it has value. And when you go into a store and you lay the $20 bill down, you want to know you're going to be able to spend it and you're going to get change back. That's all that you and I care about at the retail level. The issue of being asset-backed, it's only really crucial at the very top banking level because then, as I said, it stops inflation is what it does. That's the primary tool of an asset-backed currency. So it's something that can, there's pros and cons to it both ways. I don't know. I know some people said it has to be one certain way. I don't think so. We'll find out when we get to that point. Okay. So then let's see. There was a next question. That was all the questions that I had because I have pretty much covered all of the other questions on some of the comments tonight. I've already had them. So I do have one more caller that I can go to, and it's from area code 617. So 617, you are on the air, and what can I help you with tonight? Okay. Hey, can you turn your radio down or your computer down in the background? We can hear the feedback. So you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight? I guess you're not wanting to come on the air, and we're hearing the feedback and the delay. So, okay. Well, folks, that's it. I don't have anybody else that's on the list tonight of wanting to join in. If you want to really quickly, you can come in and get to that. But other than that, folks, I'm ready to be done tonight. I'm ready for us to say to call it a program tonight. I don't have anything else extensively that we need to go into. So, and let me double check and make sure that nobody else just came in really quickly. Nope, we're not. So we basically went for about an hour and 20 minutes tonight. I want to thank all of you for joining me on the program tonight. I'll be back with you next week again on the Sedona Connection. So, folks,